Today we're building a warp-based old-school 10-bit FX chain in Ableton Live 12, designed to bring that 90s-inspired darkness, tension, and haunted warehouse energy into a modern drum and bass arrangement. This is not just about making a sound dirty, it's about making it feel alive, unstable, and useful in a mix. In classic jungle and early dark side 10-bit, transition FX did a lot of heavy lifting. They blurred the line between rhythm and texture, stretched energy across phrase endings, and gave the track that tape-sick, shadowy, half-broken feeling. That's exactly what we're going for here. So think of this as building a reusable tool. By the end, you want a chain that can turn a stab, vocal chop, Reese tail, break slice, or atmospheric hit into a warp transition element with pitch movement, time wobble, grit, filtered space, and a resampled result you can actually place in an arrangement. Let's start with the source. The biggest mistake people make here is choosing a random sound with no character. Don't do that. Pick something that already has some musical identity. A short stab chord works. A vocal fragment works. A single break hit works. A Reese tail works. Even a textured field recording can work if it has a clear mid-range shape. For this lesson, the ideal source is short, maybe 1/8 note to 2 bars max, and it should have enough transient information to stay recognizable after processing. If it's too polished, it may feel flat once warped. If it's already too noisy, it may just collapse into mush. You want something that can survive being bent. If needed, consolidate the clip first, and keep it on a dedicated audio track named something like FX Warp Source. That makes the workflow cleaner, and it also helps you think like a producer who's building a sound palette, not just throwing effects on a clip. Now let's talk about warp, because warp is the heart of the sound. Open the clip and audition different warp modes depending on the source. Complex Pro is usually a strong choice for vocals, stabs, and textured tonal material. Texture is excellent for smeary atmospheres, tails, and noisy tonal sounds. Beats is the one to reach for if your source is rhythmic or break-based. Tones can be useful when you want single-note material to stay more stable while still moving. For a 90s-inspired dark FX chain, start with Complex Pro for musical material or texture for smeared atmospheres. Then shape it. Push transpose down somewhere around -3 to -12 semitones if you want it darker and heavier. Keep grain size in a range that creates smear without total collapse, maybe around 30 to 80 milliseconds. Use flux only as much as you need to keep the sound coherent. If the source is vocal-like, detune or formant movement should stay subtle. This is where the old-school vibe starts to appear. A lot of classic jungle effects sounded dark, because the sound was being pushed in unstable ways, not because there was one giant distortion plugin ruining everything. It was the combination of pitch, time, and texture shifting against the grid. Warp lets you do that in a clean, controlled way. Now we build the device chain on the track. A good starting chain is auto filter, saturator, redux, echo or delay, reverb, and utility. First up, auto filter. This is your tone shaping and tension building tool. A low pass 24 is a great starting point. Set the cutoff somewhere in the range of 200 Hz to 4 kHz depending on how open or closed you want the source to feel. Use resonance modestly, enough to add character without squealing. If the source is thin, a little drive can help. And later, you can automate that cutoff to open across the build. Next, saturator. This is where the source starts getting that controlled grit. Push drive by a few dB, maybe +3 to +9 depending on the material. Turn soft clip on if you want the peaks to stay manageable. The goal is not just crunch. The goal is to make the sound feel like it's been through some kind of worn-out circuit or tape stage. If it's too thin, a little collar helps. Just be careful not to overcook the output. After that, redux. This is where the digital degradation starts to speak. Keep it subtle if you want character, or push it harder if you want that crushed, old sampler feel. Downsample anywhere from 2x to 8x is a good range to explore. Bit reduction around 10 to 14 bits usually gives you grit without turning the sound into complete trash, unless that's the point. In old school style 10-bit, this kind of controlled damage can be magic, especially when the tail is falling apart while the attack still reads clearly. Then echo or delay. This is your phrase extender and your motion layer. Try sync times like 1/8 dotted, 1/4, or 3/16 depending on the rhythmic feel you want. Feedback around 20 to 45% is enough to create tension without washing everything out. Darken the repeat so the delay sits behind the source instead of stepping in front of it. A touch of wobble or noise can work too, but keep it restrained. After that, reverb. This is where the source starts turning into space and memory. Decay around 1.5 to 4.5 seconds is a good starting range. Keep the pre-delay short, maybe 5 to 25 milliseconds, so the source stays connected to the reverb rather than floating separately from it. Use a low cut to keep the bottom clean, and a high cut to keep the top from getting too glossy. In darker DNB, the reverb should feel like atmosphere, not like a huge cinematic cloud swallowing the groove. Finally, utility. This is your safety and focus stage. Use width to control how wide the sound spreads, especially in the low end. A lot of FX gets exciting in stereo, but if the low frequencies are wide, the mix can get blurry fast. In a club context, that's a problem. Keep the core focused and make sure the effect still feels strong in mono. Now let's animate the chain. A dark FX sound gets way more convincing when the movement feels intentional. Add one or two modulation tools instead of five random ones. Auto pan is useful for subtle rhythmic motion. Set the rate to something synced like half notes or one bar, and keep the amount controlled. If you want pure volume pulsing, use zero phase. If you want stereo movement, use 180 degrees. Frequency shifter is another great tool, but use it with restraint. Tiny fine shifts, tiny automation moves, that's the trick. You're not trying to create a sci-fi special effect. You're trying to make the sound feel slightly unstable, like the floor is moving under it. You can also use clip envelopes and automation to make the movement feel musical instead of random. For example, open the filter gradually over two or four bars. Increase saturation near the end of the phrase. Make the redux bit harsher only on the tail. Raise the reverb wetness right before the drop, then cut it off sharply. That contrast is a huge part of the feeling, and that's an important concept here. Phrase-aware automation. Don't automate everything just because you can. In dark DNB, the most effective motion often feels like it belongs to the structure of the tune. Let the effects change with the section. Let it breathe with the bars. A little instability goes a long way. Now use the clip itself to push the tension. In the clip view, you can adjust volume envelopes to duck a transient if the attack is too sharp. You can automate transpose to create a pitch dip or climb. And you can nudge the warping feel slightly ahead or behind the beat for extra tension. If the source is rhythmic, Beats Warp Mode can give you that chopped sample energy, especially when the transients are preserved just enough to stay readable. A great pre-drop move is this. Start the sound dry and narrow in bar 1, open the filter across bars 2 and 3, add more reverb and echo on the last half of bar 3, then cut or gate it hard at the end of bar 4 right before the drop. That gives the listener a clear arc, tension, spread, smear, then impact. You can also lean into old-school imperfection by letting the tail smear slightly into the next downbeat. Don't always make everything perfectly tidy. That slightly messy ending is part of the jungle charm. Now for one of the most important steps, resampling. Create a new audio track and set its input to resampling. Record the output of your FX chain in real time. This is where the process becomes more than just a plugin setup. Once it's printed, you've got a new audio object you can treat like a break, slice, reverse, chop, and rearrange. Resampling matters because it commits the interaction between warping, dirt, space, and motion. It captures the whole performance of the chain. After recording, consolidate the best section. You can keep it as audio, or slice it to a MIDI track if you want to re-trigger pieces of it later. A really useful advanced move is to print multiple versions. Make one cleaner mid-range pass, one heavily degraded pass, and one long ambient tail pass. Those three versions cover a lot of arrangement needs. One can add clarity, one can add damage, and one can carry atmosphere. Once the sound is resampled, shape it for arrangement use. Use fade handles to smooth the start and end. Use EQA to clean up low-end clutter. High pass it somewhere, around 120 to 250 Hz unless the effect specifically needs weight. If it's harsh, notch a little around 2.5 to 5 kHz. If you want a more tape dark, 90s feel, gently roll off some top end above 8 to 10 kHz. If the tail is jumping too much, a light compressor or glue compressor can help even it out. Now place it in the track like a real structural element, not just an effect. Use the resampled effects at the end of an 8-bar intro or in the last two bars before the drop. Bring in a shorter version for a mid-drop switch. Reverse it for an outro transition. These sounds are super useful because they help guide the listener through the arrangement. They're not just ear candy. They're phrase markers. And remember, this style works best when the effects is part of the drum and bass conversation, not sitting on top of it like a separate layer. Sidechain it lightly from the kick or drum bus if needed. Use a gate if you want rhythmic chopping. Keep the FX bus under control during dense sections. The most powerful transitions often come from contrast, not from everything being huge all the time. So if your drums are already busy, let the effects be narrower and more focused. If the bass is thick, give the FX some mid-range identity around 700 Hz to 2 kHz so it can cut through without fighting the sub. And if the mix starts getting cloudy in the low mids, that 200 to 700 Hz zone is usually where the problem is living. A couple of common mistakes to watch for. Don't make the FX too wide in the low end. Don't drown everything in reverb. Don't choose a warp mode without thinking about the source. Don't distort first and hope for the best if the top end is already too harsh. And don't over-automate every parameter just because the track is dark. The strongest FX often use only two or three meaningful movements. That's enough.